Big jumps, big race, big offers. The Aintree Grand National is at 5:15, and Paddy Power offering 6 places on your each way bet.
Hello everyone, we're back on the road, this time to Aintree. Over the next hour or so, we'll be devoting mainly to looking at the Randox Grand National, but also having a look at the key graded races over the next 3 days at Aintree. And to do that with me, I will of course have Ruby Walsh in the studio. Ruby, first of all, welcome.
How are you, Lydia?
I'm well, thank you, and you?
I'm great, thank God.
What do you make of this year's National? We've only, at the time of talking, got 46 horses left in the race. This is so small compared to many years.
Yeah, it is, and it's probably a little bit of an old-fashioned National, as in that number 46, Fantasticas, only has 9.5. He'll be racing from £9 out of the handicap, but Bobby Joe was £12 out of the handicap when he won the Grand National before. What was that word that was used? Compression. That the famous statement saying. So look, I don't know, horses to be a couple out of the handicap, 46. There's plenty of horses when you look at the Scottish National, the Bet365 Gold Cup, that are entered in those races that might well have got a run in the English National for a lot more prize money had they chosen to.
Last year, of course, you need to be rated 142 in order to get into the race. This time around, Born by the Sea, who's currently number 40, is 137. There are only 13 British-trained horses in the race. And even at entry stage, the race was completely dominated by the Irish, who provided the first 3 last year, the first 5 last year, and of the 15 finishes for the last 2 years, 9 of them last year, 10 of them the year before. Are we expecting Irish dominance to continue?
Probably are, yeah. But I suppose if you look at last Monday, you had a €500,000 Irish Grand National, one English runner. Mm-hmm. Royal Pagai, the top weight, so the Irish right up the rest of that. So there was a couple of non-runners on the day, but there was 30 declared plus 3 reserves, and we have 29 going to the English National, 25 plus 4 that were taken out that ran in the Irish National. So there just seems to be more horses at that level trained in Ireland right now than there is in the UK. Having said that, there's plenty of them entered, as I said, in Scotland and in the Bet365 Gold Cup for a fraction of the prize money, but sure, that seems to be the choice.
Is this something we should worry about at all from a British perspective, from a national perspective?
No, but it kind of flies in the face of the prize money argument.
In terms of you put enough prize money, they will come?
No, you put up the prize money and they're still going for the less.
Right.
I think that's a little bit, I don't know, maybe some there's certain horses you can see why they're going to Scotland or being kept for the Bet365, but why would you not take a chance for £500,000? Why run for 200?
Lots of people have been talking about the cost to enter and that kind of element.
Cost to enter has always been, or yours traditionally always 1% of the prize money you ran for. That's not a new invention. And it's much cheaper now in the UK.
Let's talk about what it means in terms of people at home trying to work out what might happen in this year's National. We're about to go through last year's race and the key moments, particularly involving those horses that are racing again this year. Are we expecting a weaker race this year? I mean, is it going to be easier for those horses that were towards the fore this time around, albeit that they're a year older?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think recent trends in the National have shown that it's become much more of a stamina contest than the National of old. So it's 2013 since the core defences were changed, and over time you get trends and you develop a way of looking at a race, and it is now a real stamina contest. You always had to stay, but you really have to stay now, whereas before they used to slow at the open ditch. Now the race doesn't slow until after Beecher's Brook. I mean, the pace is around 28 miles an hour thereabouts all the way down to Beecher's now. So it is more of a stamina contest.
Yes, and it's more of an end-to-end gallop, isn't it? And that's kind of counterintuitive, because in terms of it being more of a stamina test, of course, for people at home, they'll be thinking, well, it's a shorter race than it used to be.
Yeah, but the fences used to be bigger, more loose horses. The more loose horses you had, the more jockeys had to second guess what they were doing and had to slow down. Obviously, the ditch, the third fence was very big, and when you got over the ditch, the race used to slow then. The canal turn naturally slows it anyway, because you have to slow down to take the corner. But that's the only slow point in the race now, is the canal turn.
Okay. Well, let's start, as I said, by looking at last year's race. It seems like a sensible place to start. It was won by Noble Yates in tremendous fashion, narrowly getting the better of Any Second Now, the pair of them clear. How did you see how the race developed?
Well, it just put to bed a load of myths anyway, didn't it? You couldn't come from the back, right? You're shot in the brown and orange colours. And if you watch them when they hit the road, the road's at an angle, not this road, the next road is a little bit straighter. You'll see exactly how far back Noble Yates is compared to the rest of the horses as he touches onto the road. But we picked them up. There was 8-9 of them from the last year's race. Noble Yates obviously over the very back. Front left is Ascaria 10, Enjoy Dalen. On the right you have Longhouse Poet, Delta Work, Cocoa Beach, Any Second Now, and Fortescue I think is the one that's obscured. But Enjoy Dalen, he only got to the first big race for Kieran Murphy, and he just catches the top, pecks out in his head, and best of luck. Unfortunate. Down to Beaches Brook, Cocoa Beach is still on the front end with Longhouse Poet, but you can see how far back the rest of them are. Delta or Noble Yates is the second last one, Delta Work just in front of him, and he's second now to the right of shot. The pace was quite strong, and that's the way the race has developed. Cocoa Beach and Longhouse Poet drifts himself back, but he did really well to last in the race, as long as they consider how handy he is compared to Any Second Now, who's the fourth one highlighted. He's going to finish second, and the first and third at the back of the shot. Fortescue out the back pulls up, but you can see what I mean about it was a strong race, but you don't have two for goal, but you still have Cocoa Beach, and there's plenty of more pace horses in this race. We lost Run Wild Fred at the Canal Turn, up to the second last on the first circuit, and they're starting to bunch up a little bit. Cocoa Beach has steadied in front, but because of the long run from the third last to the second last, and again from here to the chair to the water, actually when you look at it speed wise, this race doesn't slow down a whole pile. Now Sam Willie Cohen had gotten himself into a beautiful position on Noble Yates over on the inside, so from being so far back at Beechers, when he heads out in the second circuit, he'd worked his way into sort of fifth or sixth place just behind Longhouse Poet. He had gotten six or eight in front of Any Second Out, Delta Work, Fortescue, but the ones on the front end, Cocoa Beach, he's going to pull up. And right behind him is Longhouse Poet, who was going to finish ninth. So it didn't pay to be in the front end last year, did you?
No. Cocoa Beach, I can see him potentially being ridden with more conservative way this time around. He looks like he's a little bit more tractable this year. And Longhouse Poet, ditto. I mean, Martin Brassel has been talking about he just did too much. He was allowed to enjoy himself last year.
Yeah, he did, and he burned down to Beechers. He travelled so strongly, but he's starting to feel the pinch on the inside by the third last. Cocoa Beach is still in front. Sam Willie Cohen in the ideal position on Noble Yates right behind him. And he's second now, and Delta Work come from further back, and they take over at the second last. The three that had initially been dropped in have run by all the front runners going to the last fence. Any Second Now just lands in front, but Noble Yates gets a rally then, and we know now that he was so well handicapped on that occasion, and it was a wonderful day for the Whaley Cones. Delta Work reopposes, so does Any Second Now. We don't have Santini in the grey colours or Freewheel and Dylan, but we have plenty of the first nine home.
When I watched this again, I'd forgotten quite how far clear the first and second had pulled away from Delta Work.
And it's hard to say he's not a stayer when you see what he has done in cross-country races. Santini is a stayer though, and I couldn't see him running the race he ran, and he kept galloping. It is, if you have a doubt about stamina, whereas before, with the size of the fences and with the loose horses that naturally slowed the race down, a doubtful-ish stayer maybe had a better chance of getting the trip. Now you'd no chance of getting the trip.
So thinking of those eight who are running again in the National, which of them are you giving a chance to this time around? We'll have a chance to go into their cases in a bit more detail in a while, but are there any that you're just crossing out?
I think the first and second are not handicapped to win. I would have reservations about Longhouse Poet, even dropped in. It could be more difficult for him. And I wouldn't be surprised. I liked what Delta Work did in the cross-country race. He could be marginally better horse this year than he was last. Possibly, anyway.
OK. Well, we'll go into the cases of those horses in more detail in a moment. This time last year, we put up a graphic sort of talking about what you need in order to win the Grand National. We're going to re-examine it again in light of Noble Yates and see how much of it, basically, we're going to rip up.
How much we're going to chuck out? I'd say plenty of it. Get safely over the first three. That's now the first six.
Right. That's Beaches, gone. All the way to Beaches.
Yeah, all the way to Beaches. So one becomes two. Don't get too far back. That doesn't matter anymore. Ability to travel, yeah, you still have to have the ability to travel. But holding the position doesn't matter anymore either. It's about being able to travel within your comfort zone at whatever your pace is. field doesn't thin out as much as it did before. So, but Sam Whaley-Cohen found a way through it, so it can be done. And don't go for home too soon. That will always be the case in the Aintree Grand National, or their Grand National, sorry. But you can chuck out plenty of those.
If we think about the ability to travel and marry it up with the field no longer thinning out, I think it's a good point you make about Noble Yeates, because he was wearing those first-time cheek pieces. He did actually travel really well, got himself into a position just the four of mid-division, round about the 13th fence. And so actually he was able to move through the field quite readily.
Yeah, and then he was able to essentially keep slowing down for the second circuit. He was always travelling really well, so he was always within his comfort zone. So, but it's wherever you are in the race, you have to try and stay within your comfort zone, because it's an extreme distance.
Whereas Cocoa Beach and Longhouse Poet, they were probably pressing on a little bit too soon. Right, let's have a look at the betting, shall we, for this year's event. Paddy Power prices have Corak Rambler, the dual Ultima winner, the 6-1 favourite, the defending champion, title holder. Noble Yeates is 8-1. Delta Work, that you've mentioned a couple of times, is 9-1. And the Doughty Any Second Now, second last year, third the year before when unfortunate, is 11-1, 12-1 and upwards the rest. I won't ask you to reveal what you fancy at this point, Ruby. Instead, we're going to think about how...
I actually fancy 15, so you've maybe narrowed it down to 4.
I'm definitely going to make you narrow it down during the course of this show. Let's have a look at how we expect these horses to race. We've broken it down in terms of the way the horses will race.
Oh, now, this is open. Think to, they will race.
Well, exactly. This is open to some change, isn't it? Some flux.
It is. But look, Lifetime Ambition, Cocoa Beach, Manila Trump, Cloudy Glen, Eva's Oscar, Back on the Lash, Darren's Hope, Captain Caddystock, and Fantasticus. Traditionally, ordinarily, all race really on the pace.
I think they might ride Cocoa Beach a little bit further back this time around. He accepted more of a lead last time.
Yeah, but I don't think they went too slow either. That was in the Grand National Trial in Punchestown. So if you're going to further back, you're putting them in the next group, just behind the leaders, with Fury Road, Capitano, the Big Dog, Carefully Selected, Ascaria 10, the Big Breakaway, Cape Gentleman, Dior, Cora, Wave of the Sea, Velvet Elvis, Enjoy Dalla, Mr. Coffee, frankly, the Berlin Hour Power. So there's a lot of horses.
Yeah.
That's a lot of horses to be holding the position that entry is wide, but you can still only get 6 or 7 into that position, maybe 8. So that's a lot of horses wanting to be in and around the same place. And that generally forces horses to go quicker.
So from that, I'm sensing that you think it might be best to be middle rank to towards rear maybe this time around.
I think it could be, yeah. There's plenty of pace in there. So you have a lot of horses at middle rank towards the rear. Some big names. I think Longhouse Poet will completely change tactics. Patrick dropped Gaillard de Menilin in the National Hunt Chase. You could see him there. Emmett Mullins has told Sean Bone to go off and watch Sam Whaley-Cohen, so we'll put Noble Yeates at the back, because that's where he was last year. Roy Magg, Corak Rambler gets himself back there anyway, and that's the way he's always ridden. Mr. Incredible will probably depend on how he lines up and starts. I'm sure they would like to be a bit closer, but he tends to go when everything else is gone. So, that's just an opinion of where you might see horses in the race.
OK, those are our thoughts. We're going to move on to your thoughts via social media next. So for this show, we asked you a couple of questions via social media. And the first one was about which horse you think is least well-weighted, I suppose, for this year's National. Now, Ruby, you put up the 3 choices, Any Second Now, Galvin and the Big Dog. Why did you choose each of those?
Why did I choose each one of those? Because Any Second Now, well, I know he was second, but he was well beaten in the race last year off a mark of 159 and now it's 167. So for losing, he's up £8. Galvin, I thought, was on the regress a little. He's dropped to 166. I thought he could have been dropped more and brought back down to a realistic level. And I suppose if you're going through Galvin at 166 and Any Second Now at 167 and pitching them against, I'm not even going to say Gallop and the Champ, mm-hmm. but you pitched them against Brave Man's Game and horses of that stature, would you fancy them off those ratings? Mm-hmm. I personally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Big Dog, and I think he's been as harshly treated as any of them myself. I think he's up from the Welsh National, where he finished 3rd behind the 2 Amigos. He's up 7 for losing in the Welsh National.
So the vast majority of our roadies believe that Any Second Now is the one that's least well weighted from those choices. However, we do have a dissenting voice.
We didn't say well weighted. We said harshest treatment.
We did.
Because we well weighted, of course, the horse on the top is the least well weighted.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on what your mark is relative to everybody else.
You've got to carry the most weight. It's going to be the hardest. So it's the mark is what we were talking about.
You'll like this person because he is a dissenter. He walks his own path. Should we have a look what he has to say?
I thought you were going to say he was a dementor.
No, I'm being polite today. This is from Safety Dan. He says he can't have any second now being harshly treated. He's only £8 higher than last year. He got within a length of a quarter of a horse with £20 in hand, and he was 20 lengths clear of two former Gold Cup horses running off marks in the 150s. What mark do you want him to run off, he says?
I'd be the same as him. I think they're all basically two, those horses at the top, and I think you have to go from Galloping the Champ back down. And I look, I think... when you look at Frodon and you watch the handicapper drop Frodon to 157 to win in Wincanton, and he won a handicap and he got his penalty, he then went to the King George and ran to 155. I think all those horses up there are pushing each other up unrealistically.
Okay. But we're going to discuss any second now, rather than, you know, the quality of handicapping and the philosophy behind it.
They're all too high, those horses at the top. So that's what I think anyway.
Grand National 2021, any second now, really unfortunate. Had Double Shuffle fallen a different way, he would have interfered with any second, with Manila Times, the winner, but he fell the way that fell into the path of any
but
second
that's
now.
The Grand National, isn't it? And if you don't have luck, you're still not going to win. I mean, people talk about the race changing. Bad luck still cost any second now a Grand National. Here he is down the inside, third last, first time round. Down goes Double Shuffle, straight in front of any second now. Manila Times disappears into the distance and the rest is history. He obviously went then last year and was second to Noble Yates. Here he is in Navan winning the Webster Cup. Dennis O'Regan rode him because Mark Walsh was out injured. And he did well. Now, he was favourably weighted this day and took advantage of it. It's a conditions race versus Velvet Elvet in second place, and Velvet Elvet will have his supporters. He was a pretty decent horse last year. He ran in an Irish National, but any second now he's guaranteed to stay. He's running two Grand Nationals, he stays forever, and if Aintree happens to be on the slow side, that'll suit him too.
11 years of age.
What age was Neptune Kalonch?
I'm talking about a horse that's been here twice.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, age can be dependent on the individual involved.
I can do it with my father here now. He'd tell me a story about Descargo. Was he 12 when he won it after running in two Grand Nationals or something like that?
My point is, he's surely potentially vulnerable to younger...
Of course he is. And that's the argument I'm making. I mean, how can he be any better at 11, yet he's still rated 167? I have no problem with him being the top weight in the race, but I think the marks are all too high.
And how good do you think that Webster Cup win was?
I would say it was fine.
Up to his previous stepping stones to international?
Probably was. Wasn't far off it. I think more he's run in the Irish Gold Cup when he was fourth behind Galloping the Champ. He was behind Fury Road on that occasion. Four, 5 lengths behind Fury Road. Yet he's still rated £6 above Fury Road.
OK, let's move on to Lemilos versus Korak Rambler in that they finished first and fourth in the Coral Gold Cup / Ladbrokes Trophy / Hennessy. Well, how did you unravel this in terms of the National?
I don't know. It's a flat track. But Corrick Rambler, we thought when we previewed this race, Lydia, that he could get himself outpaced, and he has. Lemilos travelled well and was in a better position all the way because of the pace he had to sit in a better position. Corrick Rambler, his two best performances have both been at Cheltenham. Undulations, uphills, downhills, get rolling, and then stamina to get home. I know you need to stay in the Grand National, but this fella could just find himself a long, long way back, which One for Arthur did. Derek Fox knows how to navigate his way through a Grand National field from well back. But I like Lemilos. I thought he had a good prep run since. That was at Kelso. And I thought this was a pretty decent performance.
OK, so let's concentrate on Lemilos.
He's only up 6 for winning the Coral Gold Cup, which to me is still the Hennessy. He's only got a £6 penalty for winning the Hennessy and he's running the Grand National.
Raced wide on that occasion. That's kind of the biggest field he's faced. Is he ready for the rough and tumble of a National?
And you're one way to find out.
That would be my doubt about him. And how did you read the Kelso defeat? Do you think he pressed on too soon?
Possibly, but I'd say also a stepping stone heading for the Grand National. I'm hoping Dan was aiming him at the £500,000 Grand National and not the race in Kelso.
So will he stay under a more conservative ride, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right, you mentioned Corrick Rambler. Let's have a look at him in the two Ultimas. He won more comfortably from a higher mark this time around. The ground, I think, was crucially different, and I think that helped.
definitely helps him. And Derek Fox gets a fair tune out of him. Look, he's plenty far back. Not as far back as he was the year before, but he does weave his way through horses. And he likes running by horses. That's what's going to suit him in entry. Goes between the gaffer and the horse on the inside of the last fence. And he just sees it out. And for everybody that reads maths and knows figures, he's lining up an entry £10 well in.
He's
theoretically.
He's idling in front as well, isn't he? He's a very characterful and an interesting horse.
Just now, you're talking about penalties, right? So, did he look more impressive there to you than Lemilos in the Corran Gold Cup?
Did he look more impressive? I suppose I feel that Corrack Rambler has got a lot more to give, maybe, of the two. But did he look more impressive? No.
So, one got a £6 penalty and the other got a £10 penalty.
I'm spotting a theme. Shall we have a look at the 1922 Ultima, shall we? Corrack Rambler struggled a little bit more to hold his position, even at Cheltenham, with its ups and downs here. And that's the difference, I think, between good ground versus good to soft ground.
And he's going to need a little bit of luck when you get far back in any race. Here he was the previous year, and this was a wonderful ride. Now, in front there was Noble Yates, who struggled in this race as well under Sam Whaley-Cohn. But, look, he found his way through it. He's probably going to be a good bit of bigger price in running, Lydia, than he is now.
Yeah, so that's my worry. We've said that the ability to travel is paramount. We've said that we don't mind where you are, but he possibly won't travel.
But Derek will keep him to travel, if you know what I mean. Not beyond what he can do. It might be a long way back, but Derek Fox has given him some wonderful rides. He's not going to dip him too early. He'll have momentum to come home, and you can make up a lot of ground if you're galloping.
Yeah, he'll be dangerous, certainly, if he's within hailing distance at the last, I think. Let's move on to last year's winner, Noble Yates, who has obviously gone on to prove himself in graded company, winning the Many Clouds at Aintree and picking up the pieces late under a persistent ride from Sean Bowen to finish fourth in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, and he kept plugging away. Got outpaced, which he looked to have done early in Cheltenham. This is a High Senior tipping up, and he dances down the inside of a High Senior and sounds Russian and gets through. Aplu Tar wasn't so lucky. You can see how far back he is turning in, behind Royal Pagai and back with the Tizard horse. But he does run past plenty of those late on the Gold Cup. He ran in Cheltenham last year in the Ultima before he went to Aintree as well. So it's the same pattern, although running a better race with a lot more weight.
£19 higher than last year, and this year the ride he received in order to win would have been an infringement of the whip rules and you'd be disqualified for it. Is he vulnerable?
The rules weren't in last year.
you said subjectively. But do you see what I mean?
Blood is thicker than water.
He needed lots of those things in his favour in order to win.
Yeah. The only thing is, I'd say, would he have won with three less or 4S max, I think he would have. Right. So I don't think that really was the difference. That's just enthusiasm. But yeah. I think he could have won without that.
To be honest, I tend to agree with that argument as a general principle.
You're agreeing with me?
Well, I certainly don't think that, you know, one use of the whip equals
a certain distance. Most of it is only to sustain the effort your horse has given you. Most use of a whip is not to actually make a horse go any faster. Is to sustain the effort you have.
Of course. But he's second in the betting. He looks a bit high in the betting to me with a much tougher task, albeit we're arguing in a less deep race this time around.
Oh, I don't know if it's a less deep race.
I'm arguing that.
Right, you argue then.
Okay. Well, I have done. Via some data earlier.
Dishing me, Everton I tip here, Lemilos, no chance.
I haven't even started yet. Let's move on to the cross-country race, shall we? And have a look at Delta Work versus Galvan. Back on the lashes in there too, and Frankie de Burley refuses at the last.
He does. And look, good run from Galvan, really, on his first try at this. Now, I know Delta Work did win last time, forced him up over these fences. Keith Dunne, who got a good tune out of him. And they're the two class horses in the race, Lydia, and they pulled well clear. It's what you expected would happen, that and what is happened. Now they're going to reoppose in the Grand National. I think they both stay strong. But Gordon has always thought Galvan was a Grand National horse. And he happened to develop into an almost Gold Cup horse. But when he won at the beginning of last year, in October of 21, or November, he was talking about Grand Nationals. He wasn't talking about Gold Cups.
Yes, he was.
And he comes here now. Davy Russell's going to ride him. It'd be some swan song for him. But He definitely has a squeak. And they're good, solid 160-ish horses.
There's Frank de Belle. Back on the lash, pulls up as he did in this race last year. And these two horses, as you say, dominate. Delta Work made a couple of mistakes early on in the Grand National last year, particularly when crowded out at Beaches and kind of lost his position. I think he's going to have to be more assertive at his fences this time around.
That's the story of Delta Work's life.
It is.
He made a couple of mistakes in an RSA with Davy, or a Brown Advisory, whatever it is. Was it Brown Advisory then?
It was.
He can miss.
He can.
Delta Work, but when he gets it right, he's a fair horse.
And Galvin is worse off at the weights, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. And like both of them were coming in there off bits of layoffs. Well, maybe more so Delta Work. Galvin hadn't run since Christmas. Delta Work had a run in February. So Galvin could be the one that improves more.
Okay. Let's move on to last season's Irish Grand National. There's a couple of key horses that ran in that we're going to pick out. One is Gaillard DeMille, who was third as a novice, and the other is Velvet Elvis, who we've already seen chasing home any second now this season.
Yeah, he was a novice as well. And Gaillard DeMille misses this second last fence, steps onto it, and Velvet Elvis pecked, and they couldn't get to Lord Lariat in front. Look, I wasn't sure watching this race going to Cheltenham that Gaillard DeMille really stay, but I think he proved in Cheltenham in the National Hunt Chase that he does. Velvet Elvis had won the novice handicap chase at Navan, and this is a good solid run. I wouldn't say he didn't stay. He was ridden prominently, he's a year older, a year stronger now. Here's Mr. Coffey and Gaillard DeMille in the National Hunt Chase. Obviously Mahler Mission goes clear, he falls, Chemical Energy gets tired at the back of the last, and Gaillard DeMille comes and wins. Chemical Energy, ground was probably too soft for him in Fairy House to judge him, but he hasn't franked that form going forward, and I just wonder, did Gaillard have a hard enough race here? Gaillard,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only stone I can throw, really.
Yeah.
I think he's got a really good, strong chance, and I think he probably will stay.
Yeah, I think he's a possible to stay.
Okay. Let's take a look next at Longhouse Poet, shall we, and how he's been campaigned this season, which is different to this time last year.
Back to a path that has worked for many people in the past. He had a run over hurdles at Christmas time below at Limerick. JJ Slevin rode him, and it wasn't JJ, was it? He won below at Limerick at Christmas, and good performance, 2.5 miles in real testing ground, bit of age on his side, and he went from there to Down Royal. Now, looking at handicapping the race in Down Royal, you kind of have to fancy the runner-up off this race.
Roy Maj.
Now, Roy Maj is an 11-year-old. He's not getting any younger. But Roy Maj is giving Longhouse Poet £5 here in Down Royal. Borough Saint down the outside, Ferry Hill run behind him. But there's an £11 swing for this race. Roy Maj landing in front at the last. Longhouse Poet quickens and gets in front of him. Then he drifts across in front of him, just in case Roy Maj will get back to him. But there's an £11 swing. And I'm not sure he got home last year. Riding more conservatively, will he get home? Maybe. But from a betting point of view, I'd prefer to back Roy Maj at 40-1.
Yeah, he's a prolific winner in France. He's an interesting horse. Ran really well in the New Year's Day chase at Tremor behind.
He did. He was third.
Nidalarindo and Statler.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of Longhouse Poet, I suppose the argument you would use for that is that he didn't need to be at his best, a bit like the Any Second Now argument. It's a stepping stone towards
it is, and Lamilos at Kelso. I mean, that's what you are. You're getting to a target with all of those horses. So it'll be interesting to see. But I know Hedgehunter fell at the last and came back and won a Grand National when appearing to get tired. But he was definitely more in it for longer, I think, than Longhouse Poet was in last year's National. And it's definitely more. Hedgehunter was 2004, 2005, where jumping was more of a premium. So I'm just not sure about Longhouse Poet stamina.
Okay. I thought they pressed on quite a bit approaching two out and then folded quite quickly, and he'd done, you know, a little bit too much. I suppose what I'm slightly worried about with Longhouse Poet was presumably that Down Royal race wasn't the plan, because he unseated at the first in the Bobby Joe, didn't he? Surely that was the stepping stone plan.
It was, but it's chase that was there on Patrick's Day. We were all in Cheltenham, Lydia. I couldn't tell you. I had to go home and watch a replay of it. I wasn't watching it too closely anyway.
Okay, we're going to move to Leopardstown over Christmas, and you'll be looking left, right and centre for the horses in this particular race. They're led home in fourth by 8, not a shame, but there are plenty of other runners in the National in behind him.
Yeah, there were. This is the Paddy Power of Christmas, and the one we're going to concentrate on here is Ain't That a Shame, because we'll see all the rest of them in various races coming up. But Ain't That a Shame travelled really strongly, which he can do, and here he's home for all money. But why doesn't he win? He didn't. He faded to finish fourth on this occasion. Real Steel runs by him. Panda Boy gets back by him. He went from there to Goran Park and won a beginner's chase on the Edge of Blackmore, which he's entitled to win. He's a good jumper, but he's a strong traveller. And I wonder, could he be too strong a traveller?
Yeah, I like everything about him, apart from that one thing that you've just mentioned, and bearing in mind the atmosphere of Aintree, and could he get lit up and travel too strongly? He was certainly a bit too keen in his younger days, wasn't he?
But from a handicapping point of view, versus the big dog, he's choked it.
Yeah, I think he's really well handicapped. I love the way he jumps. I quite like the way he travels in normal circumstances. It's just whether that tips over the edge. But maybe if, as a result of seeing your graphic there, he's taken further back, maybe he'll find plenty of cover and settle for longer.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, that's my hope anyway. We're going to move on next to Capodanno. And this is Grade 1 novice chase form, where he comes home the winner at Punchestown last season, ahead of Lifetime Ambition and Fury Road.
Yeah, and they bought Rhea Pose, and obviously Capodanno has more weight than them, or up there beside them anyway. This is a good performance. He'd been disappointed in the Brown out of our advisory, or maybe he hadn't been. Maybe he just run to his best of his ability. But good performance at Punchestown. The only negative for Capodanno, for me, is the fact that he's only had the one run this year. Since Punchestown, this was his only start at Goran Park in the Red Mills Chase, Janadil, Hotong, Kalor and Durasso, who Rhea opposes. And I can't find a horse that has won the Grand National that hasn't had three runs in the season.
The plan, Willie was talking about maybe running him in the Gold Cup, but he didn't get there.
No, and then there were talks maybe of the Melling Chase, but that looked, not the Melling Chase, the Bowl, but that looks a really hot contest. He's taking his chance in the National. He keeps going well, he's a good jumper, and he's loads of work done. But I thought the same of Rat Finden. Now, maybe I made too much use of Rat Finden, and the more you look at those graphics, the more I definitely did. But I just think, look, every trend is made to be broken, but it would definitely be in the back of my head.
Is he a good jumper?
He's on springs, yeah.
I think he met. Doesn't he make a statutory error per race?
I nearly rate him myself. Nearly.
Right, let's move on to Our Power, shall we, who won at Kempton in February. This was a really strongly run event, and he was having nothing of that early pace. And in the end, he came through to win, showing plenty of stamina.
Yeah, and, you know, Sam Thomas has shown us all that he knows what a target is and knows where to get there. Drops back off this strong pace, Sam Twiston Davis, and gets him back into a lovely position. Comes again going to the last. He's a solid jumper. Look, Kempton, how can you say a horse winning over 3 miles at Cheltenham, or Kempton even, is going to get 4 miles, 2 furlongs at Aintree? But to me, he looks like he stays well enough, and he's a runner.
Does he lack a touch of tactical speed?
I don't think so. I don't see that's what you used to think, whereas now it's just there's no tactical speed. It's who can stay going for the longest.
Okay. Right. Let's talk about the big dog next. He's had a fine season, hasn't he? You're going to start with his Munster National run.
Yeah, and look, he was probably a little bit lucky in the Munster National. Ain't that a shame? Led to the last, got in too close, pecked out in his head, and the big dog ran him down. Now, the change in weights for that to the English National is quite considerable. The big dog was only given, ain't that a shame, 3 in that occasion. He's given him way more now. So he's gone right up the weights. Here he was winning the Tritown Lifetime Ambition inside him. There's a 4 pound swing in the weights, or ratings even, for the Tritown Cocoa Beach back in third. And then he went to the Welsh National after that, where he finished third. But he's up 7 for getting beaten in the Welsh National. He's a solid horse. He came back to run in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup at the Dublin Racing Festival, and was travelling equally as well as any second, now going to the second last, arguably better, when he got too close and knuckled over. I think Keith Dunne, who rides him, I think he committed to ride him a long time ago. I hope I'm right on that. And he's a big runner. Peter Fahey's horses were in great form at Ferry House at the weekend, but I just think the handicapper could have nobbled him.
Yeah, £7 higher than that.
That's the wrong terminology, sorry. The handicapper has just given him too much weight.
We all know what you meant.
In current climates.
We all know what you meant. £7 higher than when third in the Welsh National. Pressed on quite a long way out, but blundered 2 out. Fell there in a steadily run.
He's his own way of jumping.
I was coming around to that. Yeah, if I'm going to accuse Capodanno of making a statute mistake, surely the big dog has
to. The big dog has his own way of jumping, but I think a lot of people thought Tiger Roll wouldn't jump around.
True, that's true. Right, let's have a look at Cocoa Beach, shall we? I've been arguing the case. I'm only arguing the case that I think he'll run better than his 8th of last year.
Just arguing the case to be awkward.
I'm not. He's only 8 years of age. I think he's been steadily back to form this season, and I think it looks like he races more tractably now. So I can see him bettering his 8th of last year.
Yeah, so can I. But he's probably his strongest attribute is actually his jumping. He's a wonderful jumper, yeah. Cocoa Beach, and you watch him here at the second last, and he got a really good ride on this occasion as well from, I think it was Ben Harvey, and he jumped the rivals into the ground. I just think that he likes to be on the pace. He had been on the pace all the way in the Tiestes. He was up there on the pace all the way in the national trial as well. I don't know about dropping him in, Lydia. Does that work, or has it worked in the past for him? I'd be surprised if they dropped him in too far. He sat midfield in the Munster National and ran Norris. Mm.
Yeah, I suppose that was earlier on in the season, though. Let's see. I could just think he's going to run better. I can't believe he's only 8. He feels like he's been around for like 2 decades.
He's earned his nuts.
He certainly has. Right, let's have a look at Carefully Selected, who came back after, what was it, almost 3 years off and on his second start.
A long time off, yeah.
Won the Thaistes.
Yeah, he ran in the Paddy Power at Christmas and improved considerably for that. Here he is, Cocoa Beach, Ascaria 10, Dunboyne in the pink. Behind him in the light blue is Gabby's Cross as well. Now, when they swing down to the third last fence, Gabby's Cross at the back in the Brookhouse colours coming to it now. Absolutely has that one. He has his own way of getting from A to B as well.
Absolutely.
And Ascaria 10 keeps going well. Dunboyne and himself, you know, Dunboyne has had a disappointing run after that, and then went and ran into Kim Muir. There's your Cocoa Beach again. This is solid form. Headshunter, number 6, Valverde, 2 Tiestes winners that went to win Grand Nationals. He was disappointing in the Bobby Joe, but he seems to be in good form at home in the last fortnight.
What do you put that disappointment down to? Was it quicker conditions than him not being able to hold his position?
Maybe. I don't know. I think he just ran disappointingly. Right. He'd had a long time off, ran the Paddy Power, won the Tiestes. Just didn't happen for him. But I think he's in good form since.
That's interesting, because I think on the basis of the Thaistes, he's got a really good chance. He also seems to have smartened up his jumping a bit from when he was a novice as well.
He was a really good jumper, and then it went wrong for him in the National Hunt Chase. But look, he seems to have come back now. Fair play to his owners for the patience they've shown the Masters since. But look, it'd be great to see him go and run well.
Let's talk about Dunboyne. You mentioned him there. He was in the bobbing finish with the Carefully Selected. He's a sulker, isn't he?
Well, we talk about Mr. Incredible. What humour will he be in at the start? Dunboyne could be put in the same category. He refused to race in Punchestown one day. When he puts his best foot forward, he's a good horse, Dunboyne, and he ran up Cracker into Kim Muir. Again, you just look at Stumptown and Gavin Cromwell's, no, Angel's Dawn. They both disappointed in the Irish National after running in that Kim Muir.
Yeah, I think I would have Mr. Incredible and Dunboyne in the same category. And finally in this section, we're going to have a look at some Cheltenham form, and this involves Eva's Oscar and Captain Catisock. He has to get into the race at the time of speaking.
He does have to get in, and if Captain Catisock gets in, he's one of those we had on the front end. Eva's Oscar is a strong, solid stayer, but likes to be ridden forward and prominent as well. So, look, we're talking about, we'll probably have to highlight in all this, or looking at data maybe, and a lot of the jockeys will have too. Will it be a slowly run Grand National this year? I can't see that.
He's a really tough horse. I like the way he jumps. I think he'll probably stay, but this is much, much tougher, isn't it, than what he's used to?
It is, but if you're not in, you can't win, and he's going to have a chance because he's going to start.
Touch wood, they all will. Right, those are our thoughts so far. When you rejoin us, we'll be having a look at the horses that you fancy to win the race, and we'll also be putting up our 1, 2, 3, 4 for you to rip up and throw
away. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Well, you've been away. The person on my right has been doing some fevered research. What's all that about?
I can see Aidan Coleman down beside the big dog after committing Keith Donoghue to him and Keith on Delta Work. But look, who knows? Long way to go yet.
Yeah, many a slip between betwixt cup and lip. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is right. Right, let's have a look at the social...
That's an Oxford one.
It really isn't. Let's have a look at the other poll that we asked you about. And this was, which horse you think is best treated, best handicapped in this year's National. Now, again, Ruby, you put these three up. Why, briefly?
Well, it took a lot of insight to pick out Corey Grammer.
Yeah, tough one, yeah.
That was a difficult one.
£10 well in.
Manley won the National Hunt Chase, won't be carrying that penalty. So, again, it was a difficult one to chuck in there. Capodanno is a second season novice as such, so handicapper probably hasn't had a chance to reassess him, so I chucked him in, but we haven't had the one run. And then we left any other below.
Yes.
9.8% of the votes did think something else.
They did. But the winner was Corrick Rambler. Most of you out there believe that Corrick Rambler is the best treated, which, you know, if you're doing it literally, according to the official handicapper, you're right. But lots of you had some arguments for other horses as well, and we can have a spin through those now. We'll start with David McIntyre, who's a huge Vanilla fan. On his Albert Bartlett form, he's only rated £3 high. He's been a slow burner over fences. His jumping is improving gradually. That's the key point, I think, David. He's been primed for the National all year, and he would have beated Ken Boy, rated 157, with another 50 yards last time. Now, David, I can't tell you how delighted the person on my right is that you've mentioned the Albert Bartlett, because I've been wondering what relevance a novice hurdle from two seasons ago has to the Grand National. You tell
you
me,
Ruby. You keep telling us we have to include our viewers. Here is, I pulled this out just to show people that this is a grade one winning novice hurdler, and now that's all I wanted to see, so our viewers do remember that. And look how good he looked that day. Do you think when he won that Albert Bartlett, if I said to you he'll have 10-6 in a national someday, what would you think?
Given the state of his jumping last season as a novice chaser, I'd say yes, absolutely right, because he was such a deliberate jumper of fences. Now, cheek pieces have definitely helped, I think.
Yeah, but look, I'm not saying he won't be a deliberate jumper again. Here he was at Ferry House. How he will take to the green ones at Aintree, God only knows. But look, he is a horse with huge ability, with a beautiful racing weight and 10'6". Now, how he jumps, I'm afraid I don't know.
Yeah, if he manages to hold his position, I would say that he could get involved.
I wouldn't be worried about his position.
I mean,
if
via
he just
jumping,
doesn't get a fright down over the first three,
yeah.
If he happens to jump the first thing, not so bad, second, third, and he starts building confidence, I don't care where he is at Beecher's first time round, he's chucked it.
Yeah, I'm talking more about maybe losing his position via jumping a bit hesitantly. Right, Ed Pannell is the next one we're going to have a look at. He puts up Lemilos. He just said in answer to that question, Lee Milos is interesting and an outsider is the big breakaway. And I pointed out that this is road to Aintree. We're roadies. We need to see working. You don't get marks for an answer. So having pushed Ed, he said the Lee Milos will clearly say happy with softer ground, which we can expect. Easy run on return from break. And thus hopefully primed. The big breakaway is more of hit and hope, plod around at a big price, could be a good 8th or 10th. Paul Brown thinks that Lemilos is a non-stayer and he'll be pulled up after 28 furlongs. Quite precise there, Paul.
That is precise,
isn't it? It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Where is 28 furlongs? 3 miles and two, somewhere crossing the Menning Road, heading to the second last fence.
I love it.
Considering that is where the most horses pull up in the Grand National, I'd say, well done, Paul.
The big breakaway we passed over. Now, I cannot see him travelling at all.
Yeah, he's hit and miss, but there is an engine in there somewhere. It's just what side of the bed he gets out, isn't it?
I am not going to get Ruby to expand on Lemilos any further, Ed, and those people who might like Lemilos, because you'll be spotting where I'm going here. He might have more to say about the horse in a few moments' time. It's good news if you like the horse. Right, next one. We've got a couple of Matts, I think. Matty Tompkins is the next one. He likes Roy Marge for the same argument that you were panning out earlier in terms of his run with Longhouse Poet at Down Royal.
Doubt, as you say, he's a prolific winner in France. Stamina could be an issue. A lot of his form is 2.5, 2.6, just up to 3 miles. Real stamina could be an issue.
I suppose by that argument as well, it depends on whether Longhouse Poet is well treated, whether Roy Marge is well treated, doesn't it? The other Matt coming up now, Matthew Gregory. He thinks Mr. Incredible. So again, look, you know, road is at home. We all know. Show you're working. So this is...
Were you a maths teacher before you were?
I suppose that could have been a different role, couldn't it? Unfortunately, I'm not very good at maths. Here's the working.
Last two runs of your top weight. Last run he was carrying 12 stone, yes. And he finished third, 11 stone. And second, 11 stone. Yeah, but he's still off the same rating.
See me after class, Matthew.
That's not a logical understanding of handicapping, is it?
No. You've got to think about the relative class of the opposition.
Matthew, she gave you 0.
And you were lucky it wasn't minus figures. Right, OK. Let's have a look at the 1, 2, 3, 4 that Ruby and I have both gone for, shall we? I think let's go first, second, third, fourth together first. So I'll reveal mine first.
Yeah.
My winner, you've already dissed. This is my winner.
What you go for?
Ain't That a Shame.
Yeah. Well handicapped.
Got to Not Lose His Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Lemilos?
See, there's no numbers in this for a reason. I picked four to be in the first four, but you had to be all first, second, third, fourth.
Oh, that's cheap. That's cheap. This is our winner, this is.
No, I think these have been the first four. Lemilos, Velvet Elvis, you've gone for Guy Ardemenian, I can see why.
Okay.
This is your third, might be in the three. Corrick Rambler, he'll be flying home.
Yes, I've got him flying home, but only getting fourth.
Oh, and I think any second now is guaranteed to stay, and I'd love to put him first, to tell you the truth, but that's dreaming.
Head has ruled over heart here, yeah. When you put him fourth.
No, I stuck him in there because I wasn't brave enough to put him as the winner, but he's the one I want to win.
Okay. So those are our thoughts for the Randox Grand National. Those are our 1, 2, 3, 4.
I hope mine are in the wrong order.
Good luck with whatever you choose.
Hello and welcome to a very special racing quiz.
You're the team captain and I'm scared of you, so you can...
I'll put you in captain at that.
Choose your weapons, gents.
Three.
Thank you.
Four.
Ruby Wise, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God, I'm having a mental breakdown here.
Fran laughs.
Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah. I would have thought so.
Offence at Cheltenham where you go like that.
Yeah, I don't.
That'll be an entry, yeah? And so would the fine Avon, and so would the top of them. They would all be an entry.
Entry.
Right, hold on to your hats. We've only got time for a potted digest of the rest of the major races at Aintree. We're going to start with Thursday and the Alderhay Aintree Bowl. How do you see this, Ruby? Here are the declarations. You are going to start by looking through the prism of the Gold Cup.
Yeah, look, and it's, you have Ahoy Senor, Plutar, Brave Man's Gape, conflated from the Gold Cup, and it was a brilliant Gold Cup. Ahoy Senor jumped out down the inside to make the run, and Brave Man's Gape was never far away. A Plutar took his time, conflated was out wide. And Ahoy Senor had jumped brilliantly up until he fell. Unfortunately,
six out.
Travelled really strongly, got too close, knuckled over. But he brings down Sounds Russian, and as good as brings down a Plutar. So a Plutar is pulled up. Then you have Brave Man's Gape coming to join Harry Skelton in front, conflated in the pocket. And Brave Man's Gape quickens up well. But you're just thinking, he gave everything he had here. Brave Man's Gape. I think so did conflated. I thought it was a brilliant race. And you're wondering what mark is left. How much did it take out of them? How have they recovered after this race? Now, you can't tell at home, and Paul Nicholls is saying that in the last couple of days. There's no way of knowing. If he's this horse, he'll win.
Definitely.
But he's had run arguably the race of his life on this day.
Agree. Longer than usual to recover between Cheltenham and Aintree. Question to you.
I've watched horses go from there to Punchestown, which is 6 weeks, and not be recovered.
Totally agree. How well was Aplutar going when he was all but brought down?
I thought he was going plenty well enough.
Do you?
Yeah. I was happy enough with him. And even when Rachel went to pull him up, she nearly ran Noble Yates out and he finished fourth.
Okay. I was less happy, but really? I think I put it more in the unproven category. I know lots of people have said that they thought he was travelling well. I think I put it more in unproven.
Fair enough. I think Ahoy Senor and Aplutar would be the two to take out of that now.
Right.
For tomorrow.
How do you unravel a problem like Shishkin?
Blinkers. I thought it in Cheltenham, watched him. He didn't want to go out on the track. He missed the break. He was lethargic. He didn't jump the way he can jump. He didn't travel. He took kind of slap on the shoulder heading to the first. He couldn't hold one side of Manascot or barely hold on to Manascot. He's having to cajole him down to the first in Cheltenham. His jumping was hit and miss, which is not like him. He's usually a solid enough jumper. I know he goes a bit to his left. No, right. Left. But I was disappointed with him. And he runs on when it's all over. But Envoy Allen was always galloping over him. And I don't know.
So the step up in trip, not enough to tempt you?
No.
I know that you argued that he needed blinkers when we did our Road to Cheltenham wrap at the end of this day. And I'm inclined to agree with you. This was just sort of a lazy, begrudging type performance, wasn't it?
It was. It wasn't one of a grade one horse anyway to me. And look, he is. And he's a very good horse. But I think he's... He's enjoying life, good old Shishkin.
Yeah, we argued it was just one blip to his form, the Queen Mother Champion Chase of 2 years ago going to Cheltenham. He's now definitively, I think, got two. So the winner is a Plutar for you?
Or a Ahoy Senor.
Okay.
Either or.
Right. Let us move on to the Aintree hurdle, shall we?
Pick the winner of this one, Phil.
new question for Constitution Hill, albeit that he would have tried virtually 2.5 miles had he went at Ascot earlier in the season. He's trying a trip for new time under rules.
Yeah, and look, he's a brilliant race horse. He is the star of the show. He was magnificent in the Champion Hurdle. Nico got upsides them down the hill when they weren't going quick enough in the back straight, the first hill down there. Let Fly the Last just got there, beats them and the Common Canter. And I think as far as he won at Cheltenham, I could see him winning even further over 2.5.
Who chases him home?
Oh, I don't know what chases him home. Maybe Zana here. Zanahir ran really well in the race last year. He fell at the last. I think Epitant was disappointing at Cheltenham.
And Sharjah, who ran well in the county?
He did in the county.
Trip?
Maybe he'll get it. He hasn't tried it before, but I'd probably be with Zanahir to chase him home. But okay. I think he could go to Aintree and win as far, if not further, than Ellie Powder.
Jewson anniversary 4-year-old hurdle coming up. And let's have a look at the runners, the declarations for that. It all, well, we think it probably revolves around the Triumph, in which Zenta was third.
Yeah, it does, and you have a couple of horses that didn't go to Cheltenham here to take her on. Fresh, waiting in the wings, Nozret, Bo Zenit, and Scriptwriter. So Zenta, did Scriptwriter run the Triumph?
No,
he didn't. So Zenit, or Zenta even, I thought she improved considerably from Fairy House to Cheltenham. I wasn't sure she'd even run as well as she did. It was a race that the front runner tore off in, but a lot of horses were too keen, including Blood Destiny. But Zenta pings this second last hurdle for Mark Walsh, and she ran a really good race. Gala de Marceau in the hood in behind didn't get a great run off the bend. Lossie Mouth was gone, and she was the best horse. Now, the question mark is Gust the Wind and Fort, disappointed in Fairy House during the week. He ran pretty disappointing, but Zenta, she's had a light enough campaign. Mm. She won in France in September, so she's only one run in Fairy House, one run in Cheltenham. Hopefully she's over that.
Yeah, she jumped much better at Cheltenham.
Different
that was
filly,
a big improvement compared to Fairy House, I thought. We have some of the Adonis runners coming in, including the winner Nusret. They've always maintained that he's better right-handed, though.
Right, I wasn't aware of that, but he's definitely a flat-track horse. And whilst, not a flat-track horse, he's a speed horse. And whilst Aintree is dead flat, you can get raced in a long way from home at Aintree, and you have to stay there. And I'm not sure about stamina for Nusret.
Okay, and conversely, I wonder whether Scriptwriter didn't like going right-handed. I can't really come up with any excuse otherwise. He's got some much better form from earlier in the season.
Yeah, going left. Yeah, he does. And, you know, Milton Harris thought a lot of him, but we'll see how he gets on.
Okay. Let's have a look at the manifesto, sponsored by Racehorse Lotto. It's the Novice Chase over 2.5 miles. There they are. We can start by thinking about Stage Star, who did really well when winning the Marsh at Cheltenham.
Yeah, he got a brilliant ride to win the Marsh, though. He controlled the race, jumped out in front, went a decent gallop without going mad, slowed it up, and then just got away from the field down into the back straight, Harry Cobden did. And he posted a good lead that he puts down here on him, but he's a really clever horse, Stage Star. But he posted a really soft lead. Mighty Potter, unfortunately, we lost him at Fairy House. James de Burleigh and Appreciated both went back and ran there. We're probably a little bit disappointing. So hard to know how strong the form really is now. But Stage Star, I just think, got the benefit of a very, very good ride. I'm not sure he can back it up.
So what do you make of the horses coming up against him? Banbridge, of course, skipped the festival in the end because of the rain, and he ran second in the Irish Arkle, form that really has been franked.
He ran on to be second in the Irish Arkle, having never really been in it. But I think San Roy could have done the same that day, and he unseated Ryder. So, look, San Roy stayed on to be third, I think, in the Arkle.
Yes.
I think 2.5 would really suit him. Banbridge depends on what the ground is like at Aintree. It was too slow for him at Cheltenham. He probably doesn't want too much rain at Aintree either.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point about Samoa. Did run really well in the Arkle. In the
and where he won his Grade 1 at Christmas, I think horses who come from off the pace to win 2 mile chase at Leopardstown are actually stairs.
Okay, so those are our thoughts about Thursday. Let's move on to Friday. We can have a quick look at some of the races for that. We're going to start with the Marsh Chase, the showpiece, Grade 1. Fakadidaris has won this the last twice. And you're going to have a look at the race through the prism of him initially.
Yeah, look, he's bidden for a hat-trick. No horse has ever done this, Fakadidaris. I think, arguably, if you look through his form for long enough, you can make a case that he's better going left than he is going right. He definitely has run to a higher level going left. Track seems to suit him. Looks like he's been aimed at this for the third year in a row. And I think the race he won last year was a stronger race than the one he's running in this year.
Interesting.
Which probably needs to be, because I don't know if he is in as good a form. The French Dynamite and Hitman coming from the Ryanair. French Dynamite was a non-runner in Ferryhouse on Monday, which I thought was a really clever move from Mouse Mortis and Robcor. I thought for grade ones, I think the Marsh's a good bit weaker than the Ryanair.
Thinking about the Ryanair, I thought that Hitman ran really well. Those cheap pieces really did seem to concentrate his mind quite a bit, and he was good second to Fakir last year. And if he is a little bit up and Fakir is a little bit down...
Yeah, but Harry Cobden has gone for Pictori.
Yes. Well, there's the other argument. Now, he was really dominant in the early part of this season, but he was brushed aside by a going day Shishkin at Ascot.
Yeah,
but that was still a good performance.
Fakir was behind him.
Yes.
So, you know, it is... Just always having the back of your head to pick Dory, is he going to clout one?
Yes, I think that's right. I think he still has the potential to do that. A sort of, heart-stopping error. Let's have a look at some of the other races from the Friday as well, shall we? These are the declarations for the Mildmay Novices Chase over 3 miles, just a little bit further than that, 3 mile one virtually. Gerry Colomb is there with Davy Russell on board.
Yeah, no Jordan Gainford, obviously he's out injured, so Davy takes the ride on Gerry Colomb. I thought Brown ran really well at Cheltenham, but yeah, look, Gerry Colomb, he looks the obvious one. I think Gala Leto, if there's a cut in the ground, could be interesting too. She was good at Warwick, yeah, Harry Skelton ride. So, look, big ride for Davy. He's looking for one good one to go out on, so... Hopefully he gets it somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and Thomas Darby as well, who's switched to fences and completely unknown. He's an improver. Let's have a look next at the Sefton. I've been wanting Absolute Notions, Davy Russell's mount, to step up to 3 miles. I think he's going to really enjoy it, isn't he?
He is, but Max in Milan's form was Frank from Doncaster with Stay Away Faye at Cheltenham. So a bit of depth in that as well. And Absolute Notions ties in with Goodland from the Dublin Racing Festival, who probably disappointed at Cheltenham, and Deep Cave disappointed at Ferryhouse, so that novice hurdle, I don't know.
We shouldn't also forget about Rocco as well, who put up a best yet performance when winning the Martin Pipe at the Cheltenham Festival as well. I would say he's a player and probably likely to stay. Right, on the Saturday, other than the Randox Grand National, the big race of the day is the Liverpool Hurdle, and we can have a look at the betting for this. Mary's Rock, the mare, trying 3 miles...
She is
the 11 to 4 favourite.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be relentless. You've got Flooring Porter and Champ in there. Champ is coming here fresh. He made all to win at Newbury earlier in the season. Flooring Porter, he got running here last year with Danny Mullins, and you know, maybe he could get running here again this year. Around this bend, where Danny was able to get him back up the hills in Cheltenham after when he won a stairs hurdle here at Ferryhouse. He just starts to run around this bend and he was gone. But I think this will be a really good race to watch. I think there'll be a lot of pace and it'll turn into a real slog. Be interesting to see if Sarah de Burley goes there. You have Tio Hoopoe as well. And the Liverpool hurdle will be interesting.
Yes, it was a bit of a slog in the stayers hurdle at Cheltenham itself. And in that context, Dashiell Drasher did really well in second, finishing at 2 places ahead of Flooring Porter.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Different track, different day. But I think a fresh Champ could be the one to beat.
Yes, Champ, who controlled the race in the long distance hurdle at Newbury. I suppose, is his form good enough? I'm thinking about how far Paisley Park was beaten in a well-run stayers hurdle.
There's no standout horse in the staying division. So, look, Sarah de Burley won the stayers hurdle. So, look, I think they've much of a muchness, and whichever one turns up on the day, I think that could be Champ.
OK, well, that's our preview of the Aintree meeting, particularly focusing on the Randox Grand National. If you need more, go to racingtv.com/Grand National. You can pick up all of the stuff that you need for the Grand National, including my pin stickers guide. There'll be more from Ruby and me. We'll be bringing you a road to Punchestown. There'll also be a little bonus course walk as well from Punchestown to look forward to. But for now, from Ruby and from me, it's goodbye.
Big jumps, big race, big offers. The Aintree Grand National is at 5:15, and Paddy Power offering 6 places on your each way bet.